to take the time from her life to live and study with from these wonderful mystic masters of the Far East. She had a 1980s internationally renowned television ministry called With Love, Reverend Terry. And she's done a number of best-selling books, including, get this title, What You Think of Me is None of My Business. You got to figure out what that means. A Woman's Guide to the Goddess Within and Dare to Be Great. And with all these books, she's been reaching millions of people. And at the height of her worldly success as a television minister teaching metaphysics, she realized that something most important was missing from her teaching. And so she left that world behind and set out on a spiritual vision quest that eventually led her to study the ancient text of the Gnostics, which she believes is the real mission and teachings of Jesus, a Christ among us, the Native American religions, Goddess Gaia teachings, science, and finally to the sacred teachings of the Puranas, which are the cream of the Vedic or ancient Indian scriptures, which encompasses all of the above and beyond. Now, her specialty is to take scholarly and often complicated research, and here's the good news, make it easy to understand and apply. Woo! Thank you. And there are only two paths in the way she views this. It's misery or happiness. And so what we can perceive in the world, by what we can perceive, most people are pursuing some misery because look at how their lives are in their attempts to be happy. So there is a path of supreme happiness where all our needs are met and wherever we, whatever we desire for good comes to us, get this, effortlessly and joyfully. Yes, it's not about working harder, working smarter. And this is what we're going to be learning. So we want to be happy because bliss is our nature. Just look at a happy baby. You don't have to teach him to be happy. So we invite you to read her book and listen in for some wonderful stuff about living your bliss. Welcome, Dr. Terry.
That was beautiful, Kenneth. You're such a sweet soul. And it was so nice knowing that you're the one that I got that fabulous clock from.
Oh.
that is so terrific. Because I forget to say sometimes, but I'm so happy all the time in the senses because I chant and I keep my mind in a great place, but I've also keeping all negative stuff out of my house, energy-wise, you know?
Yes. And so there's a comprehensive approach that you've used, and it's just beautiful that you can then take all of that and use that to deepen your studies and then translate some of these complex things into stuff that we can all take in.
Well, you know how that happened is because when I was just beginning to study metaphysics and I was going to my church that was teaching this, unity, religious science, like that, I then started volunteering. And then one of the things I volunteered for was to teach Sunday school. And so then I have these little people, I say, who are biters and scratchers and spitters, were my first audience. And they're not polite in the sense if you're boring, they let you know it. So I had to learn to take whatever I was learning and to make it very practical and simple because, in a sense, all the great knowledge really is simple, but the problem, not simple, but... it's very, in a sense, easy, but the complicated part is the mind and our mind programming that denies the real blessings and good that we can all have very easily.
Yes, there is so much that can get in the way, and sometimes it's so subtle that we don't even realize it. And
yeah, we don't. It's like the way people talk too, and I've got to be conscious of the way I'm speaking. But saying a certain word every few minutes, or the same words all the time, or acting the same way, reacting the same way, it's like being like a programmed robot in a sense, because we're creatures of habit. So we have to understand how we function. And know that a lot of the trouble that we cause ourselves, pretty most of it, is because of our habits of what we believe and what we think and what we desire and what we say and all and what we feel. And people oftentimes, because they don't look maybe beyond what they've been taught or told in the regular religions and government and schools and all of that, grossly limit themselves and actually are not able to experience the real value of being a human being and what that means and all of our possibilities as divine beings.
Yeah.
So it's very wonderful, as you know, Kenneth. And so I just am really happy that you invited me. I could share some wonderful things with people so they could feel good and make progress and really live the way God, Mother, Father, God really wants them to live.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you say that the people of the world in general are having these difficulties that are going on for so many people because they're not happy. Would you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. What that does, if everything happens in a sense because of our choices. I actually have another book that I've just published myself called Prospering Choices, and it's about discernment. And it's in that sense that, you know, when we follow our inner guidance, we usually make the right decisions. But when we don't have proper information in order to make a decision, then we'll make decisions that actually don't bring us the desired results. And our nature is bliss. And I learned this in studying the Puranas, and you begin to understand that it's called Satchitananda, Satchitananda, and it means we are eternity, we are consciousness, and we are bliss. And that, in another way, you could shift bliss to be love, and the various levels of love. So what happens is when we don't know who we are, and we focus on the outer world and our physical bodies as who we are, rather than remembering who we really are as spiritual beings who are having this wonderful human experience, we don't know how to get happiness. And everybody wants to be happy. And the problem is, when we try and be happy, it doesn't work, because we are already happiness. We are bliss. It's beyond happiness. It is like temporary. It's our real true self. In fact, you mentioned about the baby, and it's like if you know, I've been looking at so many beautiful little babies lately, and the sweetness, and they're so precious, and then what, something happens along the way that, you know, you get the crudge-mudgeon here and the angry person here, right, and the vicious person. They were probably just a sweet little precious little baby that somebody loved, or maybe they got abused and thrown in the trash. You never know. But that baby was sweet and kind, and that's really us without the contamination of all of this, what would you say, programming, because, you know, we're not even really conscious of it. It's happening so much. So because we want to be happy, then it means we're not happy. And we're sad, and we're thinking, oh, if I could change this, I'd be happy or that. So when the advertisements come on the TV or anything, it says, you'll be happy if you use this toothpaste, which is probably full of poison, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you'll be happy if you have this kind of car, and this, and then this house, and this, that. And so as we keep running after these things, we keep finding something's wrong, and we have some little bits of pleasure, but then it falls back into some pain. And then we're in a state of lack. And that state of lack is this constant state of like the worm of anxiety within the stomach. And then we're projecting into the future, oh, I won't have this. I won't be comfortable. I'll lose this. So we torture ourselves with our thoughts and our emotions. And when we do that, we're first of all feeling bad. And all negative emotions are destructive. They actually close down the immune system in the body. It cuts off circulation in the body. It actually keeps us from receiving higher knowledge and solutions and, you know, inner visions and guidance and the powers that we really have. We cut those off. So what happens is then we make decisions, and those choices, our fate is set by the decisions that we make. So when we're making decisions from a place of unhappiness or lack or not enough, and living in that fear, we are powerful. And so those, what happens is we manifest those choices, and we manifest our state of mind. So this, in a sense, creates us making choices that are not in our highest good, whether it's choices in rules and regulations and laws, or who we vote for, or the kind of life that we live, or how often we give our power to other people to tell us how to live and how to be. So from the unhappy state, it comes from not knowing who we are. And when we know who we are, it doesn't mean everything's always going smoothly, because we're living in this kind of a reality. But we are as if we are in a transcendental level of, in a sense, praying without ceasing, because we are in constant contact then with this divine flow that I talk about in Live Your Bliss and Teach, a opulent flow of divine love and prosperity and creativity and all of this that's available. So from being unhappy, then that state produces all other types of ills and causes us to make choices that then even create more problems and troubles for us. I know it's long, but
my goodness, yes. And to me, one of the valuable ways that hopefully, because I think you put this saying together, that the mind is the greatest terrorist weapon ever invented.
Right. It was actually, the mind is designed, as far as the Puranas, which I love, the Vedas, and you when you know knowledge, you know, when you know it's true, you feel it inside. It's not a mental thing; it's a knowing, and that the mind is designed to reflect the spiritual world, to be guided, to give us guidance, and it's actually a holy creation, but unless we ourselves keep our mind there, the mind then is controlled, and it falls. And so then the mind is torturing us, because in the mind we're imagining every possible horrible thing that could ever happen. And then it's on the TV, the radio, everything, so people start to image. And we have the power of imagination, which is vision. And we create also. Creation comes through us, through these visions and what we imagine. So when we're then, the mind is imagining all of the loss and the lack, and it goes back into the memory bank and drags up all of that, and we image it. And then the mind also tells us things. You know, it starts to say, well, they don't like you. You're never going to make it. You're really stupid. You're fat. You're ugly. Nobody would love you. That, you know, or, you know, you'll never prosper. You'll never have anything. It goes on and on and on. And unless you control your mind will control you. And how we are actually really controlled, you know, the word government, govern means control, and ment is mind. It means mind control. And when you look at the source of words, and where they come from, they're actually, in a sense, casting spells. It's a spelling thing of words. That's why words are very important. And it's like when we, you know, we have to do some work. We have to do research and find out who we are and how it works. But if we don't, we're being terrorized by our own mind. And then we fall into these negative emotions, and we torture ourselves with them. It's called self-abuse. And then we also try and abuse others by trying to make them feel bad and guilty and ashamed and all that. We're going to work them over. Why? Because we think if we can get them to be a certain way, then we'll be happy. See, it all comes back to my happiness. And unless I know I'm self-satisfied, that who my nature is, and you can have all the joy and bliss you want, but you have to know who you are and how that operates. But we still keep looking for everybody and everything on the outside. So then we're like, what you might say, it's like we don't have any control then. And we're being controlled through the mind. And so that's why we have to wake up always to who we are and use the mind as it was designed to be used, and don't let your mind use you.
Yeah, that's so important. And what's interesting, you were talking about the word government, and I hadn't even thought about that, control of the mind. And, of course, mind control, we think of it in a negative way, but, my gosh, as you're reminding us, it's not about someone else controlling us, which there's certainly forces in the world that would like to be doing that and have done
right.
a pretty put a lot of effort into that. But it's about us controlling our own.
It could be even your mother or your father or your kids or the neighbors or whoever it may be. It's kind of like trying to exploit others for pleasure. And so it's like if I can exploit you somehow to get something by controlling you through your mind, only those people that do that are basically psychopaths. They're pathetic souls that are so terrified and so afraid. And they have focused, they don't have a true God. They don't really understand the whole thing of a supreme male-female source from which we are part of. But they have somehow worshiping fear and lack and death. And so these poor souls, and we've all done it ourselves. I'm sure I have in my life. Not knowing who I am and then being in fear and then trying to think other people are going to make me happy. And if I get this job, I'll be happy. If I'll be miserable if this doesn't happen. So we're constantly on a roller coaster. And instead of really receiving what is being given to us from the source of everything, that, you know, spirit, you know, mother, father, God, goddess, or however, because God's unlimited. So that's what we tend to do, is keep focusing on everybody else, and then what we have to do to control, people will use the mind, and they'll use fear, and they'll use fear and fear of punishment, and they'll use abuse, and then they'll give little rewards. So, you know, I was in a relationship with a psychopath once, and I didn't understand what it was. And I'm so glad that happened, not because it was enjoyable, but
no.
I actually understood it and got knowledge that I was able to even put in Live Your Bliss, that we attract that, but that doesn't mean we have to keep it, and we have to look at, these are pathetic souls, and they try and keep you in fear and terror all the time. And I remember that what I did when I didn't understand, when I would be in relationship, when I was married, and it was all, I'm going to leave. And, you know, okay, if you don't do this, I'm going to do it. I mean, it was stupid, because here we are. We just want to be loved. But that's the problem. We want to be loved, but we don't want to love. And the bliss comes, the joy, when we start giving, outflowing that love and that bliss and that happiness, and then everything will start turning around in our world, personal and global.
Ah, so this is kind of why you make mention that other people really don't have that much to do with our happiness or unhappiness. It's within us. It's our connection to source, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. It really is, and people can irritate us. You could have people out there doing all kinds of things because they're kind of lost. They don't know really who they are. But the thing is, like, with some of the saints and yogis, you know, who live in the Himalayas and great souls who maybe you might think would be living in very difficult conditions, are very blissful. And they're very happy and in love because they're self-satisfied. They're satisfied from within. And they have found, in a sense, this great secret. And they have applied it. But it's very difficult in this world. Mm. It has been, because we're so much television and movies and internet and stuff flashing all the time. Get this, do this, have this, da da da. Then you'll be happy. Then you'll be sexy. Then you'll be rich. The people will think a lot. Now you'll have a good time. And so we're like in a sense, trained monkeys instead of being the divine great souls that we really are. We're intuitive, we're psychic, we're telepathic, we have telekinetic powers, we have mystic powers and abilities, which I've experienced myself many times, and I'm certain other people have. We have the power of problem solve. We have the power to problem solve. We have the power of intention. We are creators, and we are eternal and cannot die. We are, and this is my work, Kenneth, because, and I know it's yours, for people to really know who they are. But the problem is they think, well, that's too good to be true. How could that be me? I mean, little old me, and, you know, I'm nobody wants me, I'm no good, I'm not good enough, or I'm too old, or whatever, and people are then terrified they're going to change and lose the lifestyle that they got conditioned to, when really it's time for us to really go within and start to make contact with that inner presence and start asking and talking and communicating. You don't need anybody to between you and God. You don't need somebody to say, well, I'll intercede for you because you're too stupid and dumb to be able to talk with God.
Wow. Yes. I mean, we have to do something to get a driver's license, and now some people are trying to tell us we have to do something to get a commune with God license.
Absolutely. Or that you have to have a license to go out and teach people about God. That's absolutely ridiculous. And we know how to do. See, the amazing thing is, I don't know if you ever heard about a man named Walter Russell, but there was a book about him called The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe. It was a very small little book, but it was good. And I happened to notice that his writing was still up on the internet. So Walter Russell, and he wanted to know what he could accomplish simply by just tuning in and addressing it and doing it. Sculpturing, he did all kinds of things, and he was expert the first time. And I realize that when we actually know that we know, doesn't mean that we're not open to learn more. I don't mean that. But what I mean is that we have an inner guide that knows how to do everything.
Ah.
And so we're taught you have to go to school and learn how to do these things. But that takes people I'm not saying there's not good educational places and good teachers and all of that for something. Because, you know, I'm for that too. If I wanted to learn sewing, maybe more things a little faster, I could go to a teacher. But now that I sew, I can sit down with a piece of fabric and see what happens. And then it becomes a really beautiful, piece of art or something practical. So we really do know. But we've been taught we don't know, and we've also been taught we can't trust ourselves because you're going to make mistakes. So you people, you have to be controlled. We have to tell you what to do, no matter where it is. All up to, sometimes it's parents, family members, it's education, it's, you know, it goes on and on. The boss, you know, it's like, you know, you're all really stupid and you don't know anything, and we're going to tell you how to live. And you can trust yourself. And that is your inner guidance. And that's when I say live your bliss. It's not about follow your bliss. Follow your bliss is good too. Because what it means is bliss is like the homing device that tells you, because it's more than just a state of, people say, well, drug-induced bliss. No, I don't mean that. It's a time where it's that worm of anxiety in your stomach goes away, in a sense. You have a feeling like, yeah, that feels right. That does. That feels good. I don't feel any pain on that one. That one, I don't have any little sense of, not quite, no, I don't think so, you know, whatever. It feels good. That's your inner guidance system. But the live your bliss is about you being you and being that bliss that you are, which is really the precursor to entering into those higher realms and kingdoms of called prema, which means absolute divine love in all of its various emotions and feelings with our source and also with one another.
Mm. Okay, so
that's where we're moving to.
Wow, this is exciting. And one thing that I think you can help us to bridge a gap because of some of your studies of Gnosticism and other things,
uh-huh.
we're looking if we stand back and just observe, we're reporting from a spaceship or another planet, and we look at life on planet Earth for 7 billion people, and we have a checklist. Okay, how many are getting their needs met, food, clothing, shelter? How many are ill? And generally, the report would say the human species is in peril, lots of people hurting. And then we say, okay, here's where we're at. You're talking about the importance of our thoughts and how information's been provided to us. And I'm just wondering, we look at religious teachings that have been prevalent on the planet, and there seems to be a theme of you are separate from God, but we can help you get there. We're your connection to God. But I'm just kind of thinking, if that kind of theme was prevalent and we're in a mess today, maybe that's a reason to rethink if that's the actual best way to be going.
Right, and it's because religion, a lot of religion is falling apart now because of the religious scam that there's an angry, vengeful, mean God who's going to punish you, and we'll be the ones to decide.
That sounds more like my banker.
Well, where do they come from? They're all from the same thing. They're the same group.
Yeah.
I know, isn't that funny? I know, it's good to laugh. But it's like, because in one sense, it's absolutely ridiculous what's going on the planet. It doesn't make any sense at all. You say, well, it's insane. It is. But what you have to look at is, okay, I'm an eternal being. Now, I can't handle the whole world, but I can be who I am in all my relations. I can be who I am in every moment. And I can deal with people on that one-to-one basis. And I do have a future. And that it's like, when people are turning away from religion, a lot of them are saying there is no God. But even to think there is no God, there is a God, because they couldn't think there wasn't one if there wasn't one.
Yeah.
it's like an atheist. They don't believe in God, but actually they validate the existence of God because they're saying they don't believe in what? But it's our supreme source. And what we need to do, and I think a lot of people aren't doing that, is they have given up even understanding that there is called super soul or God within, called Paramatma, who is a form of the supreme that resides with each of us in the realm of the body, and in the area or is the heart in the chest. And it says even science has now realized that the heart is also a brain, and it's our true brain is the heart. And that's where we have to follow the heart, and then we use the mind and the brain to actually do the things we need to do in this three-dimensional reality. But when we tune into our true self and with super soul or God within called Paramatma with us, then when you make that connection, and it's really easy, you just start talking. And how that really big for me was when I was 17 and I was graduating from high school, getting ready to go to junior college and going out in the world, and I was like scared. What am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? And so this one night, I prayed to God, and I said, God, if you really exist, please, you've got to find me. Because I was going to these Standard Brand churches, and I didn't feel any God there. And there was nothing there. And didn't mean they were bad or wrong, but for me, wasn't. And I said, please, please help me. And I was so sincere. And it was about 2 weeks after that, the things started happening. And a teacher came to me. And all of a sudden, I got into metaphysics, which really started to make sense to me. And it was going to help me live a good life. But I also got to a point in the metaphysics that it was not complete. There was also something more missing. It isn't just beyond the physical, but it's to find out who and what is beyond the physical, and who are we, and what are our best options, and where have we been, where are we going? And there's a lot of people that have opinions and ideas, but a lot of that isn't my goal, and I think that's what we need to realize, that you can have any kind of a relationship you want with your partner, your soulmate, that it's almost like here you are in this material body spaceship, but you are here, but you've also got somebody with you back at headquarters who will help you and guide. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're not here by yourself. And so instead of looking to the government or you look into any kind of a, you know, religion that is fear-based, anger, punishment, hatred, let's kill everybody, we don't like them, they're not with us. That's all nonsense. That's called divide and conquer. It's time for us to learn to be together and to help each other, but most importantly, for each of us to have a personal relationship with God, and then also in the forms that you like the best, that work best for you. But we must change our opinion of the programming that you're not even close to God, and that you're too, you know, contaminated to know, or, you know, or you're not smart enough, you know, you have to get a degree in religion. No. You're living in a sea of God. I mean, that's all there is. Just know, and then just open up to that and start having these wonderful conversations. And I'm telling you, you're gonna know what to do and where to be and everything. And it takes practice. And the more you do it, the better it's going to be.
Ah. Now, does your book offer some suggestions on how to help us make some breakthroughs to move in this direction a little, Dr. Terry?
Yeah. What I do, Kenneth, is I also teach in the book is the Hermetic Axioms. That's very important for us to know how things work. But I have it at the end of each chapter, there's exercises to do that will help you to understand or to know. And in fact, one of the things we could do right now, that if everybody who wants to do this, and you're not driving in the car, but you're at home and you're comfortable, you could close your eyes and we'll just do a short little process for you to realize something. And what I'd like you to do is, you know, just as you close your eyes, do a little breathing, and just whatever first thing comes to you, just take that. And it would be, when was the first time that you thought that it was not okay for you to be happy? And so if you found something, that I also do goes the next step. I want you to recall a time when you really had, you were happy, or you had some joy, or you had some pleasure. I want you to recall that time and be there in your mind. It's all about the mind. Be there in your mind. Now let yourself have those feelings of happiness and joy. Now where do those feelings come from? Okay, now I want you to recall maybe a difficulty that you have where you weren't happy. Could be now, before, any time, just take any time, when you weren't happy. All right, notice those feelings. What were the thoughts that you had at that time? And where did those feelings come from? Good, now I want you to recall another time when you were happy. You were joyful or peaceful. In love. Just let yourself have those feelings. That's you. That's you being. And just notice where those feelings come from. And now, whatever challenge that you have right now, whatever's going on anywhere, what you want to do is, you know, you want to have an affirmation or a mantra of some kind. And right now, maybe you could have the mantra, all is well. Or if you're working on prosperity, God is my source and my supply. Or maybe I am prosperity. Or maybe you're afraid of death, you say, I am eternal. I am an eternal being, and all is well. There's nothing for me to worry about ever again. I have divine powers and abilities. And so right now, let yourself recall a time of great love. Could be with an animal, a person, just a great feeling of so much love pouring out through you. Now let yourself have that. And just know that in that time you allowed, for some reason, to allow yourself to express. And then sometimes when we say we've been cheated or we've been betrayed or we've been dumped or we've been hurt, it's what we did is we stopped those feelings and then blamed them. But we stopped them. And then you have to look at, what do I get out of feeling afraid or miserable? What am I doing that for? And once we start to look what we're getting out of it, you have to look to say, is it worth it? Is it working for you? And then what you look at is, what is it you really want? And everybody wants to feel good. And I like everybody to say to themselves, I am good. See, you are good. I am enough. And I always have enough. And just take some nice deep breaths. And you just take a look, and as you open up your eyes, to realize that you are a God. You're not the big deal God, the supreme God, but we are little gods. That means we are sparks, parts and parcels of that great divinity, that this material world, universe, and many universes are just a fraction of what is really possible to us. And that as a God, in that sense, you can choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any realizations, Kenneth?
It's to me so sweet because I was thinking of the chaos of the world some of the time, and then some other happy times with people in my life that I've loved, mm-hmm. or pets, mm-hmm. and then it was like there still was the chaos of the world, and then it was like this vision of my body, which is, I don't know how many trillion, I mean a large, huge number of cells. And
50 trillion or more.
Yeah, and I came to realize that this body of mine is composed of trillions of different pieces that are absolutely well-organized and orderly,
yes.
on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely.
And it was like, my gosh, how sweet, that I have been given this instrument, and then how sweet that the mind that was put in to mm-hmm. to this instrument has these creative capabilities. So scripturally mm-hmm. it says, I was created in the image and likeness.
Right.
All right, so I have some of those capabilities, and that ability to create certainly is like so beautiful, and it's like, wow.
I know, and what we create is what we focus on. It's so amazing. Even if you hate someone, you take on their qualities. Now, that does not mean that we allow ourselves to be abused. That's not it. We do other things. But what we do is we have the power of choice as to how we want to be now and always. Another book I'm working on is called Be There Now, because it's not about being here. Because here is still a physical location. Isn't that funny? Because
yes.
it's still in time. And we are eternity. So it's us being there. The time is, we're living in this time machine, in a sense. And I call the material world a cause. It's actually an effect, because we're cause. But you might call it like a cause and effect time dream machine. But we're not, we're just, you know, we're here for however reason we got here, and yet we are here to love. And to love doesn't mean you know, you hang out with mean, nasty people and do what they want you to do. You be who you are. There was this article, it was on the internet, and it was this person had worked with a lot of people as they were leaving their bodies, like in hospice and all that. Mm-hmm. And he found that most people, by the time they're ready to go, are pretty peaceful. But he said there were five main regrets. But the first one was not living my life the way I wanted to, but by the way other people wanted me to live my life. Some said I would have been happier more of the time. And in a sense, happiness is who I am. Happiness is who you are. You take your happiness to the party. You take your happiness to your job. You take your happiness to your relationship. You're there to bring joy and happiness and pleasure and goodness into the lives of others. And for me, you've got to have your concept, your idea of God as this supreme, as the most beautiful, the most magnificent you could possibly ever conceive of, because even if you make it up, then make it up great.
Wow.
But then you have to look, where do you get your concepts? They have to come from somewhere, to even the idea, so it does exist.
Huh.
And
oh,
let
boy.
Yourself be empowered through that, absolutely, for good.
We can have a contest on who can create the most magnificent God.
Absolutely.
That'd be
most
fun.
Beautiful, wonderful, loving, kind, whatever, because that's who we are, too.
Yes.
But we have to develop that here, and it's like, so it's like now, it seems with all of these things happening on whatever, we need to also know that there's going to be a time when we actually drop the concept of this three-dimensional form that we're in. It's a concept. And what it is you continue to be. And so we're creating our future, where we're going or what's going to be around us or whatever we are in this moment by what we focus on. And you can be aware of what's going on, but it's like if you have a nasty neighbor, and they're constantly irritating you, constantly bothering you, constantly stealing from you, constantly. Do you want to spend your whole time focused on that nasty neighbor? Or do you want to focus on your magnificent, glorious life?
Mm.
And be aware of them and do whatever it takes. But it's the sense, whatever we do, to recognize and realize you're not alone. And you really are here for a reason. And this is a fantastic time to make enormous advancement into greater realms of love than you've ever known possible. And wisdom and realization and everything, activating all your divine powers.
Wow.
Says in Egypt, there's a wonderful DVD documentary called The Pyramid Zone. The pyramid code, and this Carmen Bolter produces fabulous. But they say that the ancients who were originally from Sirius, really the TriStar Sirius, that when they when they built these,
they
were using 360 senses. We only use 5.
Oh, my.
So what are they? Wow, that's for me. You know, it's like people say, oh, I'm getting old, I don't have any enthusiasm. Never act your age. You're not the age of your body. You're an eternal.
Yeah. So be that spunky you.
Yeah, and be open to the wonder and the joy and the love and all that's possible, but it's got to come through you. It's not something that comes to you. It's as you express it, you increase what you have. That means as when we go into negative emotions, we increase those, and it's like putting, what I say in Live Your Bliss, is you're putting a rope around your arm and squeezing it, tying it so that you cut off the circulation because of negative emotions. That's what it does. It stops the flow. And keeping people in fear keeps them limited, grossly limited, where they can't actualize their divine powers because they're too focused on their fear of they're going to die. And they're too focused they will starve or they won't have this. It's so amazing. The yogis, a lot of them, they hardly ever eat. They don't starve. But we're so programmed to believe everything in this world is my source when it is an effect of you and God and us combined.
Mm. Wow.
Not a cause.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that you can bring up, here has been this line of teaching on the planet that has been there to, one way to describe it is to have people be subservient to authority, to follow some form of leadership. And if you say, okay, well, how are we going to help these good people to follow our lead, because that way we get to control what's going on. And you sit there and you checklist and you go, well, if we keep them afraid all the time, okay, yeah, and what's a good way to do that? Well, how about if we tell them that we control the destiny of their mortal soul, not just their life on earth. It's not just about we can whip you and we can tie you to a stake and set you on fire, but your whole eternity we can make really nasty for you if you don't follow
and
what we tell you to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely, and you have to be. We have to be careful because we've been programmed by Hollywood too. You know, anything we read, television, people pay to have a programming device in their living room, and they sit in front of it in the alpha state and let it program their mind. That's what they're doing. And so you better choose wisely what you're getting programmed that is going into your consciousness, because you're imaging that. You're using your divine powers because you are the energy from the energetic. You activate and bring to life inert matter. It's like once we have to know the divinity that we really, really are. And that's our biggest challenge instead of, you know, believing what we've been told. And people like are afraid of anarchy. We've been told, well, if everybody does what they want, it'll be horrible. No, it isn't. When you're a real human being, you don't need rules. Maybe you got some rules on which side of the road you're going to walk on, I guess, or you drive your car, but they're like agreed upon. They're just agreements as how we can maybe help each other more or work together more or whatever. But we're good. Human beings are not bad. But we've been like had a virus in our mind that took us over and plunged us into all of this limited negative thinking and believing and feeling and complete ignorance of who we are and what we really possess. And then when people, you know, or had these great powers, and they told somebody to put them in a mental institute.
Yeah.
Because
we know how to deal with these kind of people. What?
I know.
They're an embarrassment and hard
absolutely.
To control.
Absolutely. Because they know too much, and they have powers and abilities. So everybody's got them. And how they come about, you have to recognize you have them. And then you could take some courses or classes or whatever, but is to learn to bring those forth. You're creative. You have all of this, every person. It doesn't matter your age or your sex or your color or your height or that, none of that. That's all the skin disease. That has nothing to do with us.
Now, people that want to get your book, what's going to be a good way for them to do that?
With Live Your Bliss, they go to Amazon. That's really a good place. And I think, I don't know if there's Barnes & Noble still out there.
Yeah.
I think they can get it there on the Internet. They can also get What You Think of Me is None of My Business there. You can also go to, I think, my website. There's a little button, and that's www.terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Cole, C-O-L-E, Whitaker, W-H-I-T-T-A-K-E-R.com. And you can go there if you want and find out what I'm doing.
Yeah, so you got courses and different seminars and retreats and my gosh.
I'm doing my garden now, Kenneth. I'm pretty much, I like gardening too. I like growing flowers. I'm up here in Shasta, it's like 17 degrees out, and I've got flowers growing in the living room.
Oh, well, this is beautiful. My gosh. Dr. Terry.
You're so sweet, Kenneth.
Thank you for taking time.
It's a lovely soul.
Well, takes one to know one. And
you're so precious. I'm so glad because I've been wondering how I got that beautiful clock so I could tell other people to help them keep all those funny, whatever is being...
Oh, the EMF
bad
pollution and
waves
all that vibe
of energy we don't need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you enjoy your comfort clock, and I thank you for taking time to share with us about Live Your Bliss and just share your beautiful energy. So, folks, go check out TerryColeWhitaker.com. Look up Live Your Bliss and make some breakthroughs, because, by gosh, it's the holidays and it's time to give yourself something really
neat
like this.
Yeah, and not fall into a funk because, oh, it's the holidays. Remember, it's just another date on the calendar. Don't fall into, oh, my terrible childhood, everybody died since last year. Give that up. This is what's going on around here.
All right.
Get on the bath.
There you go. We're finding something good. Well, thank you so much, Terry, for coming on and sharing this. It's my blessings to you and to my beloved listeners. Thank you for tuning in each week as we here at Advanced Living Radio do our best to bring value to your lives. And so happy holidays, Terry, to all of my listeners.
Thank you.
Until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now. Let go.